Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Important part of this, by the way, which is always the question when you're talking about contracts for Dak Prescott or for any other player in the NFL. Connor Rogers points this out, and Connor is a host on Bleacher Report, Stick to Football. Hard to craft a take on the reported Dak contract with not a hint of the guaranteed money information, which is obviously true. So there was a period of time where this contract's kind of gone out of vogue. But I remember Andy Dalton and Colin Kaepernick both signed contracts that looked like $100 million contracts, but were really like year-to-year kind of deals. I doubt that that is the case now, because I would think that quarterback contract negotiation has come a long way. But if you put Dak at the level of one of those guys, which I think is fair considering the time when each of those guys signed their deals, if that ends up being what the offer actually is, yeah, it's $175 million, but it's like $60 million guaranteed, and then the rest is, you know, effectively pay-as-you-go kind of deal, then I can understand why Dak would not feel excellent about accepting that kind of deal. 610-632-0975. However, the margin has grown with 266 votes. Dak Prescott getting the big money and the big cap hit helps the Eagles more, according to our voters, than Dak leaving the Cowboys in free agency. 72.2% to 27.8%. So there you go. I wanted to get into this as we started the 7 o'clock hour and continued to discuss the reported rule changes. And we haven't talked about this much. The Eagles apparently put forth 4 potential rule changes. They pulled 2 of them. One of them was to modify the blindside block rule to prevent unnecessary fouls. And one was to restore preseason and regular season overtime to 15 minutes and to implement rules to minimize the impact of the overtime coin toss. I don't like either of those rules. But here are the 2 remaining rule changes that the Eagles have submitted to be voted on next week. First is to make permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul and any successful or unsuccessful try attempt. So, you know, to make sure that replay continues to cover plays and turnovers, and including those that were negated by a flag instead of ones that just kind of stood on the field, and any try attempt. I would anticipate that that rule will pass. But then here's another. This one is by Philadelphia to amend Rule 6, Section 1, Article 1, to provide an alternative to the onside kick that would allow a team that's trailing in the game an opportunity to maintain possession of the ball after scoring. So this proposal would need 75% approval by the owners to be adopted. And multiple reports indicate that it's gaining traction. Here's how it works. The team would be able to maintain possession twice per game by going for it on 4th and 15 from their 25-yard line instead of an onside kick. So the onside kick goes away, and this 4th and 15 situation from your own 25 is what happens. So if you get it, you're on the 30, or on the 40, rather. So as an alternative to a free kick, maybe the onside kick is still available, but who knows. As an alternative to the free kick, a team may elect to retain possession subject to the following rules. A team may elect to retain possession no more than 2 times per game. Kicking team must notify the referee of its intention to forego a kickoff or safety kick and retain possession. The referee will then notify the opponent of the scoring team's election. The ball will be spotted on the kicking team's 25. The kicking team will possess the ball with the down and distance being 4th and 15, with the line to gain being the 40. Play clock set to 25 minutes. Winds on the ready for play. Normal NFL timing rules apply. Standard rules for a scrimmage down apply. If the offense gains the line, the result of the play is a first down and all customary rules are in effect. If defense stops the offense, defense gets possession at the dead ball spot. If it's penalized on one scrimmage down, which is to say 4th and 15, the offense then can't elect to kick off. So then you, if it's holding or whatever, you'd then be facing a 4th and 25. Scrimmage kicks are prohibited. Nothing in this exception prohibits a team from attempting a legal onside kickoff. Okay, so it doesn't replace it under Rule 6. And then it effectively allows the team to maintain possession after a score by having the 4th and 15 instead of an onside kick. The reason provides excitement and competition late in the game. I think that this is a tremendous idea. I love the idea of going for it on 4th and 15 from your own 25. Because I think the offenses should be out on the field more, and defenses. I just think that special teams should be minimized. In particular, the impact of a kicker should be minimized. I'm not a big fan of a kicker as a part of a football team to begin with. It's a strange distinction to draw. In that I think that punters are incredibly important and useful to the game of football in terms of impacting field position, in terms of them actually having to, well, let's just call it what it is. The reason that I think that it's different punters and kickers is that a lot of times you're seeing punters throw now. You're seeing punters have to jump to make catches. They have to do more than just run up and kick. I don't think the kicker should make the impact that they do on games. I would not have a problem if the kicker position were eliminated in the NFL, and therefore any kind of rule that is going to minimize the impact that a kicker can make is something to which I will subscribe. By the way, it's not to say that I don't think field goals have any impact in the game, but I think that it's way more interesting if the punter is the one who's kicking the field goals, because that's kind of a different skill than punting, right? It's a different skill set required. As opposed to somebody who just has to do that. I'm sure that for both of the kickers who listen to this program, I've probably struck a nerve for that. You know, I understand. I get the anger. But as I ask this, 610-632-0975, what do you think of that rule change proposal by the Eagles? 4th and 15 from your own 25 instead of an onside kick. Are you on board with it? If so, why? If not, why not? I do think it would make the game more exciting. Here's one of the big reasons why. Like, it's harder to, you know, have a feeling about it without trying to put it into practice. But just think of yourself. Don't think of yourself as an Eagles fan. Or, you know, do. That's fine. Think of yourself as an Eagles fan. You're watching the Eagles come back on a team. And the team is hot. Drove down 80 plays or 80 yards in 6 plays, scored in like a minute, cut the opponent's lead to 6. Would you feel better about an onside kick to try to retain possession, or would you want to see the offense that just drove 80 yards in 6 plays in a minute and 11 seconds or whatever, getting one more chance to pick up a chunk play to continue that run that they're on? Do you want to see Patrick Mahomes with the opportunity to extend the comeback? Or, I don't know, you got me on the spot here. Is Cairo Santos still the Chiefs kicker? I have no idea who the Chiefs kicker is at this point. Doesn't matter. I think that it's a great idea. I think that it's awesome for competition. I think that it raises excitement. I think that it puts more of an emphasis on the stars of the game, offensively and defensively. I don't see a downside to this, and it's no wonder that this thing's gaining steam as far as I'm concerned. Tyler, where are you on this?
I'm actually on the exact opposite side of you. I think that this is a terrible idea.
All right.
And the reason being, you mention, you know, Patrick Mahomes, for example, and you also mention, oh, imagine if the Eagles were down and they had an opportunity to put Carson Wentz on the field instead of Jake Elliott trying some kind of, you know, trick kick play.
Right.
And that's really what an onside kick is. I get that. Now, flip the script and look at the Eagles gone from up 14 to up 7.
Okay.
Jim Schwartz goes to picket fence defense, you know, the sticks defense that he loves to run. Whoever, whatever team converts, scores, ties the game up, maybe go to overtime. This city is going to lose its collective mind if the Eagles lose that game.
Well, we're prepared for this now. We've already had Corey Graham do 4th and 15. You know, so I wonder what the impact is going to be, because we've already been stung by this. It's something that we have experience with. It happened in the Tennessee game, right? I feel like this is something that we're ready for. I don't know. Let me ask you, doesn't it feel less fluky to you? Doesn't it feel like, you know, if the Eagles... I know that doesn't always matter to people. They just want to win the game no matter what. And I totally 100% get that. For me, if you earn it, then I feel fine about it.
I feel like I'm the only person at the station at this point that values kickers.
Yeah, I think so.
And the reason being is... If you earn, you say you earn it, right? But
yeah.
So you're putting an offense on the field. Now, offensive players get winded, get exhausted. It happens. They're people, right?
Yes.
But when you see an offensive unit that is driving down the field, and especially if it's a long drive, right? Which unit generally has their hands on their knees and on their hips?
Defense.
It's the defense, right?
Yep.
So not only did you just give up a score, now you have to put your defense back out onto the field to make another play after they just got beat, where they're probably gassed and tired. I feel like when you put your hands unit out on the field for the onside kick, it's a lot of times a lot of special teams guys, some offensive players.
Yep.
I don't know. If I'm on the defensive side of things, I don't like my chances to begin with.
On a 4th and 15?
I don't.
Not even like I get it. On a 4th and 10, I'd be like, that sucks. Like, because there's a chance that towards the end of that drive, you're giving up 10 yards a play to begin with. Like, there's a chance that 4th and 15, the defense has a significant advantage.
It's a vertical offensive league, though. 15 yards is not what it used to be 20 years ago.
I guess that's true.
Because here's the thing. 20 years ago, I mean, because really 20 years ago, we're looking at 2000. It's crazy to say
right,
that, right?
It is, but we are. Yes.
How many tight ends in 2000 were vertical threat tight ends?
Very few.
Tony Gonzalez, right? Mm.
Antonio Gates, if he was playing at that point.
Right now, you look at Kittle, Ertz.
There are more than
Goddard.
Not. Yeah.
Rudolph still a little bit. Olsen still a little bit. Kelsey. There are more. Right, exactly. There are more than not. So now you have these speed receivers. You've got running backs who can make plays out of the backfield. And a tight end who is going up against a gas linebacker or a safety over the top. I don't think the defense has the advantage here. Even at 15 yards, I don't.
610-632-0975. Let's see what Tom in Philly thinks about it. Tom, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
Good. Hey, you know, it's an interesting rule, but, I start to think about, you know, as a defensive person,
mm-hmm.
you have 4th and 15, and you they run a play, and your defensive holding, which is normally, what, 5 yards, is that an automatic first down?
I'm assuming so, yeah. Yeah, I'm assuming so.
Hmm. Interesting.
So does that impact whether you're a fan of the rule or not?
Yeah, I guess it depends on what side of the ball I'm on.
Of course, yeah.
If I'm on the offense, I'm like, yeah, let's go for it. If I'm on the defense, I'm like, you know, it's, as much as they call holding a defensive holding, I mean, it's a 3-yard run play and you're holding, and now they got first down on whatever, the 40, the 30, and now they have the ball. So,
right.
Yeah, it does give me some thought for that. But I like the rule. I think it would be exciting. But, yeah, it's just, if I'm defensive-minded, I'd just be a little bit concerned about it. That's all.
Well, this might be music to your ears, Tom, because I've been stamping my feet for this for years, that the automatic first down should go away and not be a thing. That, like, you shouldn't get an automatic first down for defensive holding or something like that. That only if the penalty results in the ball moving past the line to gain should a first down happen. Anyway, I've been a big fan of that idea for a long time.
Now, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way, but actually I like that. So, that would, and then that could also make the defense be a lot more aggressive, too.
Yeah.
Knowing that, it's only going to be a 7-yard penalty and they still have to make 3 yards or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. I'm glad that I have some backup there. I'm glad that I've got somebody in the corner that would subscribe to that. Now, Tyler, you and I have talked about that during This Week in Pro Football. We've talked about that off the air. We've talked about that on the air. I don't know how there's not support for that, especially considering how good offenses have gotten. I don't know how there is not support for getting rid of the automatic first down with some of these defensive penalties. I truly don't get it. I don't get what the downside is. I don't understand why people look at it and don't think that, you know, teams would be able to. You're not going to see games turn into 10-6 games if you get rid of the automatic first down. But the onside kick rule is something that's interesting to me because, like I said, the impact of kickers, I want it to go away. I want kickers to be less important in the game, not more. Anything that I'm going to take away from the kicker and put into the hands of the offenses is something that I will thoroughly endorse and subscribe to. Now, I'm not saying the kickers aren't football players or anything like that. I'm saying in my perfect world, they wouldn't be. That's all. And my beef is not with punters. Cannot stress this enough. But only kickers. So if you have the offense and the defense out there settling who gets possession at the end of a game, I'm a big fan of that theory. Nick in Malvern's next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, good. I was just calling about this rule change. I'm totally against it.
Against
now,
okay.
Yeah, you're bringing in penalties. Penalties can dictate the outcome way too much now. Whereas on an onside kick, okay, they get offside. There's a penalty, but now you can have offside. Now it's 4th and 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Defensive holding.
But what's the difference versus an onside kick play? Because, like, if there's a penalty on the kicking team on the onside kick, it's over. Like, the other team just gets the ball. There's no second try.
Right, but now, again, there's an offsides on the defense.
Right.
Now it's 4th and 10.
Yep.
Another offsides on the defense. Now it's 4th and 5.
Uh-huh.
I mean, again, the penalties now are now driving what can happen way too much. That's number one, but is there a time when this can happen? Can you do it in the first quarter?
I believe so. The restriction is twice per game that you can do.
Okay,
this.
I'm Andy Reid, and with Patrick Mahomes, I'm up 21-0.
Uh-huh.
Give me 4th and 15. I'm going to go down there and try to score again.
Uh-huh.
I go up 28-0. Give me 4th and 15.
Why can't they onside kick in those same instances?
Because the onside kick is like, what is it, 3% of the time you make it? Whereas a 4th and 15, like you were saying, it's such a vertical league. 4th and 15 is nothing anymore.
Mm. Well, I think that surprise onside kicks I saw in between 2001 and 2010, which times have changed, but surprises were successful 60% of the time. Expected onside kicks were successful like around 17% of the time. So, I mean, there's still a chance. It's not like 3 or 4%.
All right. Well, 17% versus what's the percentage on a 4th and 15 when you have Patrick Mahomes.
Hmm.
And again, just think of it in the first quarter. A team's going up 21-0. Why not do it then?
Well, they could. They should. Nick, thanks for the phone call, man. I think that oftentimes, I think that what we know about punting and kicking field goals, and like I think that a lot of that stuff should be questioned, the conventional knowledge. If you can put a game away by going up 28 points in the first half, I think that you should. 4th and 15... according to Football Outsiders, has a 12.5% success rate across the league. So there you go. So realistically, to make the numbers line up, you should have a 4th and 14, because that's about, according to Football Outsiders, 16.7%. That's stupid. Just tack on the extra yard, make it 4th and 15 if you're going to do it, instead of 4th and 14. But what do you make, Tyler, of the argument that penalties can get involved in the game? Because I think that if you're going to take two offside penalties there, like that's almost on you. You could get offside on the kick on accident, and then you don't get another chance at the onside kick. I feel like that is not necessarily an argument in favor of the onside kick.
Yeah, I think that it would have to be something that along the lines of, unless it's a totally egregious penalty, in a la, you know, pass interference or holding, I don't think that you can kill the down right there. It's just got to be replay, you know, extra point down or onside kick down or whatever they're going to call it. I mean, unless it's, you know, like I said, a legitimate holding penalty either way, defensive or offensive holding.
Sure.
Or pass interference. Like, false start shouldn't end that. It should just be 4th and 20.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Offside shouldn't make it automatic first down. It should be 4th and 10.
Sure, exactly. Now, to this point, I want to push back a little bit on it being a vertical league and offenses have such an easy time. if that's the case, how come teams don't go for it ever on fourth and four? How come teams will never go for it on fourth and five? If it's such a sure thing, I feel like the benefit of continuing that drive is dramatic if it's so easy.
Well, certainly, but I think the difference is field position. And I know that you can do this anytime you want, and that last caller did bring up a good point where the Chiefs might just try to get on a roll and stomp teams. But I think for most of the league, this is going to be a last resort.
Like a comeback mechanic.
Yes, it's going to be, okay, we're down 14, we just scored a touchdown, we're down 7, and instead of us trying the onside kick, either A, getting somebody clobbered, one of our guys, or B, you know, that low percentage, let's send Carson Wentz back out there and see what he can do.
So let me ask you this. If you're in charge of the Eagles, if you're Doug Peterson, and I don't mean that you have, you know, Doug Peterson's mentality. I mean, if you're you and you're in charge of the Eagles, knowing that if you don't get it, if you don't gain a yard, the other team's at your 25. I mean, that's just about a disastrous proposition. Right?
You've already given up 3 points.
Yeah, that's a disaster. But if you don't get it and you gain yards, you know, you might be having people at your 36, 37. Is that, to me, that's interesting enough. If I score on my first drive, then I might try to go on the first drive of the game to try to get up 14-0.
Well, I think it's really going to depend on a lot of factors. It's going to depend on how much you trust your defense, obviously, first and foremost.
Right.
But then it's going to depend on, was it the first drive of the game or was it your first drive? So, like, if you're the Eagles, right, and they're playing Washington week one, and the Eagles win the toss, they elect to defer, the Redskins get the ball, and they go 3-and-out. Eagles get the ball and score. Then maybe you consider it because you know you're getting the ball at the second half.
Right.
But that's really, you got to play all these like what ifs in your head very early, where if the Eagles get the ball first and score, I don't think I'm doing it. If the Eagles are trailing after the first possession, I don't think I'm doing it. I'm a big believer in never give up field position and never leave points on the board.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so, and I guess the inverse of that would be never give up 3 points, which is, you know,
correct,
giving up 3 points to a team by giving them the ball in the 25.
Correct, exactly.
Right. I don't know. Maybe it's an illusion, and maybe I'm a sucker for it, but I feel like I have more control. If I'm Doug Peterson and I'm calling the plays and stuff like that, I feel like I have more control than, well, let's see if the onside kick bounce works for me. You know, maybe it's totally false, but it feels like I'm more in control. That's why it's like playing blackjack instead of playing a slot machine.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think that's probably pretty true. And I would trust, I mean, if you're putting it into a namesake, I trust Carson Wentz more than I trust Jake Elliott. I mean,
right.
Of course. But
I gotcha.
The difference being, when you kick off from the 35 and that ball bounces 11 yards and the hands team falls down, they've got the ball at the 46, 47. When you do this and you don't get a yard, they get the ball at the 25.
Yeah, you totally better get a yard. You better gain a yard. That's for sure. 610-632-0975. Joe, Andy, I want to hear from you guys, but I want to give you your full time. It is the Joe Torty Show. We're rolling on until 10 o'clock here on The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to a Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Fran Fraschilla has a problem with you, Tyler. Did you know that? What did you do to do this?
I mean, a lot of people have a problem with me, but what happened this particular one?
It says, I have nothing against anyone born after 1990. I have two of them that lived with me for a while. But please don't tell me about your list of the NBA's greatest all-time players. Thanks. He's talking to you. You're talking about Wilt. Oh, man.
What am I supposed to do here? Just, like, sit and sap until I become like 45 and I've watched 45 years of basketball and just hope that somebody comes along that's just as good as Jordan and LeBron? Like, is that my plan?
Oh, man.
I am really going to derail my career if that's the case.
That's a tough roadblock to overcome, man. That's tough. But there you go. Talking about the rules, the onside kick kind of situation. If instead of after a score, you onside kick, the Eagles are proposing you could take a 4th and 15 from your own 25. And if you pick it up, you just continue on down the road, just like you never scored in the first place. So your drive just kind of continues. Are you a fan of the rule? Are you not? What do you make of it? Joe in Mount Holly's next on The Fanatic. What's up, Joe?
I'm not. And because of what that other guy said about penalties, it just lends itself to impropriety. You know, if that holding call, 4th and 15, and it's subjective most of the time anyway.
Sure, yeah.
The guy gets a first down. I mean, if you wanted to, the thing is, pass interference should be 15 yards. I mean, and then you live for another down. That's what it should be. It shouldn't be a spot foul. If God burns you, I'm playing defensive back. God burned me, I'll pull him down and then take the 15-yard penalty.
Sure.
That, to me, is just good football. I don't understand why it's a spot foul, but I guess they want more scoring. But the impropriety it could really happen. Because some guy could say, okay, listen, you know what? I considered that holding. And it's just so subjective that I hate that. Well, I can't stand that.
But why wouldn't that happen on an onside kick as well, Joe?
What are you saying? What are you talking about? Why wouldn't it happen on an onside kick?
Well, there's potential for blown calls that could impact the game on every single play that exists.
Sure there is, but in this situation, this is cut and dry. This is holding's an automatic first down, right?
Yes.
It doesn't make sense. It's 4th and 30, right? Some guy holds. You're the Giants or Packers, you know, where you get or the Pats where you get preferable treatment.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, it's a first down. It's crazy.
I agree with that completely.
I mean, that call has to go away. The NFL, I mean, they should have a referee in the booth using common sense. I think one of the other football leagues, the USFL, whoever it was, it was perfect. It was the smartest play. This way, pace was moving. I don't understand this. And if you're going to make this call, it should be 4th and 20 to make it harder. This way, if it is an interference and if it was a 15-yard penalty, then you're really going to do it. Then you're worried about a Patrick Mahomes or, you know, if Wentz ever got to that potential. You know, then maybe it's worth the risk or something like that.
Mm.
I do not like the call. I do not like it at all. And that's my opinion. And it just lends itself to impropriety.
All right. Well, Joe, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. Well, I know that our very own Rob Motti wrote for the Associated Press that the NFL is also considering adding a booth umpire and a senior technology advisor to the referee to assist the officiating crew, which I think would be good moves, both of them. Like, if technology is going to take a bigger part in the game, that's fine. You need to be able to make sure that people aren't learning the technology on the fly and that it's not going to slow things down. So maybe that would help out in this case. My point is, the penalties argument doesn't hold water for me for this reason. Because penalties are not more important on that 4th and 15 than they are on the onside kick deal. Because, like, during an onside kick, and don't tell me that things are cut and dry or that this call won't happen or whatever, because I literally watched the Rams tackle a wide receiver while the ball was in the air for the Saints, and it didn't get called. Okay, like once I saw that, to me, that was the last door being broken down that literally anything can be called or not called at any given time. So, if you are a referee, I don't know what impropriety means. I don't know if that means, like, you know, that games are fixed or gambling. Like, I don't know what the implication was there, but whatever. A referee can either give the ball or take the ball away on an onside kick. To me, the impact of the automatic first down is profound and stupid, and I've said it before that I don't think that defensive penalties should result in automatic first downs ever. You're not going to find an argument for me there, but the onside kick versus taking the 4th and 15, I don't think that penalties are more important in that second circumstance than they are the first. 610-632-0975. Andy in Jersey's next on The Fanatic. Andy, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Going great.
Of the show.
Thank you.
My big question is, would you guys be opposed to an automatic timeout added onto this rule, since you have both sides, offense and defense, just going through a drive, and then you're automatically giving them a timeout, giving them a breather? And then on top of that, if the Eagles were to tack that onto the rule, would it be beneficial because the league just looks at it as another commercial break?
Okay, so you mean like a full commercial break, or do you just mean like a minute where they do a picture-in-picture? Like, what do you have in mind, Andy?
Hey, I think a minute would be enough because it's not going to be a common thing, so therefore you're just bringing, I mean, even if you're just allowing one more sponsor or two more to get on the screen, I mean, it's money for them. But my question is, would you guys be opposed to it? Do you think it's stupid, or does it make sense to add in the timeout?
No, I don't think it's stupid, Andy. In fact, I don't even know that it's necessarily... Let me put it this way. I don't know that it needs to be written in, because I would anticipate just from the way that this is going to play out in real time, because conceivably, right, the team would have to drive the same way. Like, you're not going to, like, just turn around and start going towards the other end zone, right? So it's going to take time to get everybody back over there to begin with, and I think that they will absolutely utilize that for, like, a picture-in-picture commercial or something like that. I think that that's definitely going to be a part of it, for sure.
Can I add in one more question?
Of course, yeah.
Do you think that this will put more of an emphasis on secondary players getting higher contracts?
How so?
Well, I mean, if you have now corners and safeties that are a lot more essential in a play like this, do you think that they would see higher contract rules because of it?
I don't think so, and the only reason I say that is because I don't know that they become more important than, like, a T.J. Watt or an Aaron Donald who busts through immediately and never lets a 4th and 15 play develop in the first place. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that the relative importance of the players changes because of that.
Okay, you don't see, like, a lot more emphasis on a Hail Mary, depending on the time?
Well, I mean, maybe, but the other thing, Andy, and thanks for the phone call, man, I really appreciate it. I don't think that you're... Let me put it this way. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers made more money because he's the best Hail Mary quarterback in the league, right? Like, I don't think that that added anything onto his contract. And I don't think that the players busting up Hail Marys... Like, when you've got wide receivers and tight ends back there that their jobs are to swat things down, I don't think that's going to result in corners and safeties getting paid more. Tyler, do you look at that differently, or...?
I don't necessarily think so. The one thing that I will... kind of ask you, especially, is with him bringing that up, made me think about this a little bit with this new lack of onside kick rule.
Sure,
it would make sense. I would think to whomever is your speedster fly route guy, every time you run the play, to send him deep down the field.
Sure,
because he would be either he's breakaway, right? Mm-hmm. Something happens, mismatching coverage. He's got a guy beat. You're gonna score again, or worst comes to worst. Your quarterback is launching it downfield,
right,
and they pick it off. If your receiver can make the tackle right away, that's a kick anyway.
Right, exactly. So then the question becomes, if the field position game is even in your mind at all when it comes to this, which I don't think that it would be in a comeback situation, but it might be in the, like, pedal to the metal situation like we talked about early on. If field position's a consideration, I don't know that this is really an option to begin with anyway. Because in that case, the onside kick seems like it might be more of an interesting idea to you. Because then there's technically a chance you could retain possession, but also, you know, the ball's back further anyway. You bring up a point that I have made, and it's because I don't like the pass interference rule, being like a spot foul and stuff like that. As a matter of principle, every NFL team should be sending their speedster on a fly route for as many patterns as their bodies can physically tolerate. Like, that's something that should happen, period, and force the league to change that rule by just continually doing that over and over and over again, which is to say Torrey Smith's career. Like, that's...
So you're legitimately going to try to throw it up, and the only negative would be
an interception
pick six.
Right.
Because even at that point, an interception doesn't mean much to you if you're willing to launch downfield continuously.
Right.
You would be a gunslinger at that point. It wouldn't matter to you anyway.
Right.
So the only thing that would be totally detrimental would be an interception, long return, potential pick six.
Sure. Versus the... Okay, so then you've got a couple of negative to neutral outcomes, which would be like a pass breakup, incompletion, drop, right? But then you've got pass interference penalty, you've got catch, you've got defensive holding, you've got, like, so many things. That's why I think that the rule is stupid. So to fly in the face of it, as many times as my guys could actually tolerate running nine routes, that's what would be happening. Not everyone, but one person at least every time.
Quez Watkins would have a spot on your roster.
That's absolutely right. Get in line, man. You're third. You're our third down guy.
Oh, you would love John Ross. You love John Ross, don't you?
Oh yeah. You know I love John Ross. I went head-to-head with Jeff Mosher on John Ross. And Jeff's been...
He stunk coming out of school.
Jeff's been so much more right than me about everything, right? But I was like, I'm not even interested in this guy in the third round coming out of Washington. And Jeff was not the only person. Lots of other people were talking about how good John Ross was coming out and how big of an impact he was going to make. So far, not so good. There's still a chance, though. I do believe in especially the wide receivers, mid or late career resurgences. I think that not everybody comes on and is Larry Fitzgerald or whatever. But it's getting late for John Ross. 610-632-0975. Charles, you're going to lead us off on the other side here. It is the Joe Torty Show. We're hanging out until 10 o'clock right here on The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. We're kind of turning over this rule proposal change coming from the Philadelphia Eagles, actually, that in lieu of an onside kick, a team could opt to take a 4th and 15 try from their own 25. If you get it, you maintain possession, and the game continues as normal. Are you a fan of the rule? Not a fan of the rule? Where do you come down on this? Charles in the Northeast is next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Charles?
How are you doing tonight, Joe?
Doing great. How are you?
Good, Joe. A couple awesome. Quick things. I'm a big fan of this rule, and here's why. It's the onside kick, Joe, has become antiquated. It doesn't work. It works a small percentage at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I like this rule because, okay, you can have the option. But let's face it, most teams would take the 4th and 15 because anything can happen. You can complete a ball to get a first down. You can get a penalty against the defense. Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, the end of these games too many times are just boring. Why now? Granted, if it goes against the Eagles, I might not be too happy about that. But I think overall for the league it's good. As a matter of fact, I would make the extra point 50 yards. And because then it would force teams to decide whether you want to kick an extra point or you want to go for the two. Because let's face it. The 33-yarder, any NFL field goal kicker, they can make a four. Most of these kickers can make field goals from 50 yards in their sleep.
Sure.
So why not make it the extra point? So I'm all for it. I think it spices the game up. Now, as for baseball, Joe, they're going to come back. All these people worried about baseball, they're coming back, and they're coming back for the same reason the NBA and the NHL are going to complete their seasons. They've already lost a lot of money. They got to recoup some money, and they want to recoup that TV money. Even without fans in the stands, all these leagues are coming back. And I'll tell you this. I think the winner teams may really do well in these playoffs. I think the Flyers have an excellent shot. And I think the Sixers have a better shot than people think. And here's why, real quick. People think, okay, at these neutral site games in Orlando, the Sixers won't have a home court advantage.
Mm-hmm.
True, but they're not going to have a road court disadvantage. To me, the Sixers, you get a healthy Ben Simmons, you get a healthy Joel Embiid. To me, the Sixers could actually be a surprise team that might win the whole thing in a playoff like this. Now, so any team that wins these NHL and NBA playoffs would say it's tainted, and that's fine. But to me, I take it. So I think both of our winner teams, when these sports come back, Joe, have a great shot of going very far in these playoffs.
Now, Charles, I agree about both of the teams, actually. The one thing that I'll say about the Flyers, though, that makes me a little bit uncomfortable is that I think the Flyers are one of the top teams in the league. I would not like if they were forced into like this 24-team playoff in the first rounds of best of three. Like, I would not be a fan if they lost two games in this opening series. They wouldn't be able to compete the rest of the way for the Stanley Cup Finals, which are going to be seven-game series, best of seven kind of deals.
Well, me either, but I heard it wasn't like that. I heard it was like if you're a top four seed, which the Flyers are a top four seed, that the way they're going to do it is that, no, they're going to get a bye.
Okay.
Top four seeds. I heard the top four seeds are going to get a bye, Joe, and then they would play some games early to get the rust off, but the only teams that will be out are the eight teams competing that aren't in the 16. They're the ones who can be eliminated early.
Got it.
The Flyers may play some games early, but they can't be knocked out. And I'll tell you this. The Flyers, if they can keep that chemistry they had going with an excellent goaltender in Carter Hart, I think they have a great chance. I think they had a great chance to make it a run before the season ended.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a great chance when it comes back. I think both of them do.
I think so too, Charles. Hey, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. And if that's the case, I hope that is because that'd be a shame. I think that those top teams, including the Flyers, should get a bye because best of three is just so strange. Like we've seen worst-seeded teams go ahead 2-0 in all kinds of playoff series. And we've seen the other team come back. We've seen it go either way. But there you go. So that's good stuff. I agree with Charles that I can't see any professional league bagging their stuff. Can you? I can't see the NBA or the NHL bagging it.
Entirely?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so.
The only one that I would say that won't come back, and again, it's part safety, part money, is baseball, because it hasn't started yet.
Right.
I don't believe that either of those two leagues, with the progression that's been made, are not going to play at all. Now, it may alter for, actually, probably, I shouldn't say may. It will alter next season, I think, and
okay.
may alter seasons to come for a long time in terms of schedule, how many games are played, et cetera, but I don't think that they're not going to play at all. There's no way.
And I think that Charles is right that at some point, if it's going to be like don't reopen or reopen without fans, I think that's going to be a bitter pill to swallow, but they'll do something. Like they'll reopen without fans just for the TV money or whatever. I know that you want to hang in there and get as many of those playoff games in with fans as you can from a financial standpoint, but I don't know that that's going to be on the table. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Charles is a fan of it, even if it would work against the Eagles. And that, I mean, I think that that's an interesting thing that people have not really addressed is what happens if it goes against the Eagles. You've mentioned it, Tyler, that, you know, if you're looking at your Jim Schwartz defense, picket fence, 4th and 15, you know, Corey Graham nightmares all over again. You know, how would we feel about it? I don't know. I once again, I know that it's difficult to play defense in the NFL, and all of the penalties have made it such. But at the baseline level, without the penalties, without a lot of other stuff, I think it's way harder to play offense. I think it's way easier to break stuff than build stuff. Like, because you can have drops, you can have somebody run a wrong route, you can have a quarterback misthrow a ball, you can have a missed blocking assignment, you can have a ton of stuff. Now, things can go wrong on defense, too. But I just think that even, like, and I know that you can't remove penalties from it because penalties have so heavily tilted the scales in favor of the offense. But I think playing good defense generally, especially in a 4th and 15 situation, I would think that that's more consistent. I would bet that of the teams that opt for this, more will be stopped than succeed. I think.
I would think you're probably right. I just think that the percentage is going to be significantly higher than what was the number you gave for the onside kick, like 17%. I think that this number will probably jump to, even if it's a third or a little less, you know, 30%, 3 out of 10, something mm-hmm. like that. That is just way too high of a jump to go from 17% to 30%.
Okay.
For me to feel comfortable with. Now, to your point on defense being easier to come by than offense.
Yeah.
I think from a simplistic, like, you know, smash mouth, beat each other up style of football, sure. Stopping something is, you would think, on the surface, easier than trying to get around something.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But like you said, with the penalties, that's harsh. With the vertical threat, like we talked about, from the offensive players, that's hard to do as well. The factors that still remains to me that I always find the most difficult and challenging is, unless the defense knows your plays, the receiver knows what route he's running.
Right, sure.
Quarterback knows what route the receiver's running. Usually speaking, they know they're on the same page. A corner and safety and linebacker are reading and reacting.
Right.
That step, that second, that extra blink of the eye could be the difference.
Makes a big difference. That's the truth. 610-632-0975. Your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. And the voice you just heard is Tyler Zuli. You can follow him at Tyler Zuli. Pretty simple from Mike McCarraher, who responded to the tweet. How do you feel about the proposed NFL rule that would allow teams to keep possession of the ball? Love it. However, there are a lot of other reactions here. Mike Malloy says NFL has to stop monkeying around with the rules. Viral Bomb says, it can work if the ball's on your own 45-yard line. If you get it, you have the ball on the opponent's 40. If you fail, they have it at the spot of the football. If you fail, opponent's not in field goal range yet, and the defense can still make a stop. and people are supporting that because the onside kick's usually recovered around the 45. I mean, that's the point of this, is that you don't have the uncertainty of a bouncing football, so that costs effectively 10 yards to the competition committee or the rules committee or whoever's weighing this, right? Like, that's the tax of doing it. Ray Bailey says it stinks. Terrible, says Finnegan Playground. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation.
I honestly thought that I was going to be in a vast minority who did not like this. It's way closer to 50-50 than I anticipated.
Yeah, there are some people that are big time pushing back on it. But there is something to be said for the NFL does love messing with stuff. They really truly do love messing with the rules. However, one rule that should have never been adopted in the first place, I'm glad to see going by the wayside, that pass interference review rule is going away. Apparently, it will not be renewed for the 2020 season. It was silly to begin with. If you're talking about a subjective call, what you need is, like somebody called earlier, a common sense official to come in and say, wow, you really, really, like, that was an egregiously blown call. Like, every time, in my opinion, Tyler, the way that you make this work is that every time this common sense booth official has to get involved, that person after the game has to like file a report with the league and go through a lot of paperwork and stuff like that. And the reason why is so that you don't just meddle with the game all willy-nilly on judgment calls. But in the event that a Los Angeles Rams player or a St. Louis Rams player at the time, I can't remember.
No, they were Los Angeles.
They were Los Angeles at the time. Dex, a New Orleans Saints player. That's a fairly simple report to offer to the league. It was like, yeah, this is just a blown call.
Watch the video.
Yeah, they just blew this call. You know what I mean?
So to go on top of that, too, I think not only will it make the calls more objective, I think it's also going to put more onus and more, demand on the refs on the field to get the call right the first time. Because if these reports continue to come in and the reports are at a high number, there has to be some kind of accountability for these refs. Either it's loss of their position, not position being
assignments.
Fired, right?
Yeah.
Loss of assignments, get the worst games, get less games, become, I don't know what the hierarchy of officialing is on the field itself, but, you know, go down a rung on the hierarchy of
sure.
For the next couple games. You know, maybe lead to suspension or whatever, but there needs to be some accountability for these refs.
610-632-0975. We have wide open phone lines for you and plenty more action on tap here. It's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic.